How to do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. It is Friday, March 13th, 2020. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have two wonderful guests. First off, I have Andrew Orr. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, happy Friday the 13th.
And if yours is happy, please let us know at observations@macobserver.com. We'd like to know it went well for somebody. Also with me today, I have Charlotte Henry. Hi, Charlotte.
I've nearly made it through Friday the 13th, so you know.
All right, that gives me hope. Now, Charlotte, I actually want to start with you because we've had something happen, which is why we are starting the show a little bit later than normal today, because we've had some news that was happening when we would normally have been recording.
Yes, news has happened.
Yes.
For sure. So, Apple announced kind of what must be Friday morning your time-ish.
Yes.
Friday afternoon my time, that as speculated, WWDC 2020 will be an online-only event. That is the long and the short of it. Now, we can all speculate that this is to do with the coronavirus outbreak. Andrew and I have been covering over the last week or so event after event that has been cancelled. And Phil Schiller, in his comments about this, does acknowledge, quote, the current health situation.
Yes.
However, it doesn't explicitly mention coronavirus or COVID-19, and we can maybe, as the conversation goes on, speculate about why that might be, because we may want to, you know, it may indicate that Apple is thinking that this could be a more permanent move. Excuse me. It also should be noted that Apple says it will commit $1 million to the local San Jose organizations because some will be hit by the loss of WWDC turning up in town.
Yeah, because it's a whole lot of people. We've talked about that previously, about just how many people are in town, because it's not just however many people are attending WWDC, but there's other conferences that happen at the same time, and there's people that just show up because everyone they know is going to be in town and get hotels and go out to dinner and have parties at places and all kinds of things. So there's...
And that's why I really like the part of this announcement where they said they're also contributing $1 million to help local businesses who would be affected by this loss of business. And yeah, $1 million is a drop in the bucket for Apple, but they are, as far as I know, the only company that has announced something like this. I haven't heard any other companies doing financial contributions like that.
Yeah, and I haven't heard that about around any other canceled events either, that there's that anyone's that's contributing.
It's a very good point, actually, because, yeah, as I say, Andrew and I have picked up on a lot of these over the last week, 10 days or whatever. And it's true. I haven't heard any kind of pledge like this.
So I liked that, too, Andrew, that piece of it. And the thing that. I know we've talked about, I think we may have talked about here on an earlier episode when we sort of kicked around the possibility of what DubDub would look like if this were to continue, and it certainly has. And that was the piece that it seems to me a lot of people who are trying to get WWDC tickets and be WWDC attendees, the thing that they want the most out of that is the time that you get to spend with Apple engineers. And so if you're having trouble with some framework in macOS or in iOS that is not behaving the way that you want it to, or you can't figure out why what you're doing isn't working, there are labs, they call them, and there's lots of opportunity where you can book time to talk to the person responsible for that framework and say, this is what I'm doing and this is how it fails and I can't get it right, you know, or talk to somebody about a bug that you're seeing, you know, as part of macOS or part of iOS, and, you know, this is what it's doing and I can't figure out where it's gone wrong. And one of the things that they call out specifically in here is Craig Federighi, who's the senior VP of software engineering, is his official title. He says he looks forward to developers interacting in entirely new ways with the Apple engineers building the technologies and frameworks. So it sounds like hopefully they've solved that problem of but how do I get FaceTime with an engineer? Because if you have a developer account, you can see all the videos of the sessions that happen in that happen at DubDub already. That was the thing that happened last year and in previous years. You had access to all of that, even just with a free developer account. You didn't have to even be a paid developer in order to get to see those videos where people talk about how the frameworks work or how this feature can help you, or, you know, other different things that Apple is offering throughout the week. Almost all of that stuff ends up online for you to just watch if you want to go see it. But the engineer time is the part that's really hard. And so, you know, it's hard to get into. They tend to have to meter that time pretty specifically because lots and lots of people want to talk to Apple engineers. This is their one shot to do it for most people most of the time. This is the only time that they get access like this to someone at Apple to help them with what they're doing. So,
do you know what I'm particularly excited about?
What?
I might get to go to WWDC now.
You know, that's the thing a lot of people, I think, are talking about is
the
possibility of it.
Well, that's a good point, actually, because as I said, we could speculate because that WWC could move more online in future years or online totally in future years. Because if you read the statement, which I've linked to in my story on the MacObserver.com, it doesn't say anything. It calls it a new format. It doesn't say in the same way other companies had, we're cancelling it because of the pandemic. Mm-hmm. It quite noticeably doesn't say that.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe WWDC will become more democratized in the future. Who knows?
This is my fondest hope. That anybody wants the ability can go.
And like Kelly mentioned, they're building, you know, entirely new framework. So this isn't just going to be some simple watch these videos online. There's got to be some kind of interactive feature for developers to, I mean, maybe they'll host some of the code online and people can just grab it and upload and, you know, do all sorts of tinkering.
Well, Apple likes Plus, so I'm going to borrow from your friend and mine, John Martellaro, who said this in the meeting when I said maybe they fixed the problem of getting FaceTime with engineers by FaceTime with engineers. And John said, it's FaceTime Plus. And I just really like the idea of that. Like, maybe you can screen share in a FaceTime session and that's how they're going to be able to do it. Like, I can talk to you and then you can say, oh, right here in the code, and then flip to screen sharing like you can in lots of other, you know, video conferencing applications.
Yeah, I think it will have to be that.
Yeah.
And maybe, I mean, FaceTime gets a little better as well. Woohoo!
I would love if that announcement were the thing that kicked off Monday morning. FaceTime is now awesome. We heard this podcast with Charlotte about messages, and we've made that better too.
I was going to say, we did being rude about stuff yesterday. Today, we're going to just look at the breaking news.
Yeah. Well, and I like the idea that maybe this is, like, perhaps the current situation, as in 2020, was the catalyst for this, but I would really like if this were maybe a thing that could continue for Apple, and then people in other countries could come, not just because they get a scholarship or just because they're lucky enough to be able to manage international travel, but because that gets more complicated all the time, it seems like, if you're trying to come to the United States. So I really like the idea that wherever you are, whatever your time zone is, you know, you don't have to get up in the middle of the night for anything and you can be part of this conference wherever you are. I really like the idea that maybe this just kicked that off.
Totally agree. And for those who are just interested in keeping up with the news, sorry, Andrew, it's just worth saying that Apple has said it will keep people up to date by up to now until June, by the way, because we don't have a specific date yet. We just know it's in June at some point. It says those updates will be in the Apple Developer app, by email, and on the Apple Developer website. So keep your eye on those if you want more information on WWDC 2020.
Yeah. Be a good resource.
And not just Apple and DubDub. I hope that in the future, companies will keep letting their employees work from home, or at least have that option. I know with some positions that's easier than others, but I think it's maybe some good things can come with this.
I hope so too, and I hope that it turns out to be something that, you know, an unexpected side benefit is that some companies, having been forced to allow people to work from home, find out there's a lot of benefits to it. So, That would be fantastic. I would like very much if that were a thing that could happen for people. So that's where we're at with DubDub. We don't have anything about when this fantastic online event is going to happen, as Charlotte said. But as we do, we will tell you more about it here as we find out more ourselves. And now, because it's Friday, it is time for Security Friday. So we have a little bit of time to talk to you about this week in data. And Andrew, I'm going to just turn it over to you for this.
All right, here we go. So if you've ever heard of this app called Whisper, it's been pretty careless this week, or maybe all along.
Andrew.
Oh, he crafted that headline for me. I know, it's fine.
I did. Yeah. So apparently, I've never used this app, but Whisper is this app that lets you share. It's called a secret sharing app. Mm-hmm. I guess you can share whatever you want, like whatever dirty or dark confession you have, you can share anonymously. Well, as it turns out, it may be not so anonymously. Now, as I noted in my lick teaser.
No.
Okay, I know it's not possible for a company to be 100% secure, but at least put a password on your server, which is what they didn't do. And we've talked about that in the past. Some companies chose not to put a password on their server, and it gets exposed on the web. And so this was the Washington Post that discovered this. This reporter was able to freely browse and search through the records of this database, many of which involved children. A search of users who had listed their age as 15, just for example, returned 1.3 million results.
Oh.
And in total, they were able to access nearly 900 million user records from the app's release in 2012 to the present day. So like I said, it sounds like this has been unpassword protected all along, which is terrible.
That's a word for it. There are other words for it that I probably shouldn't say, so I don't have to edit. Yeah. Wow. Thanks for that, Whisper. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, so if you've ever had an overwhelming need to share a secret, maybe this isn't the way to do that.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, if you weren't using Whisper already, I would casually suggest maybe not starting now. Just, you know. Yeah. So, Andrew, what else do we got?
Okay, so there's a company called Sensor Tower. It is an analytics tech company. It's used by developers, people like venture capitalists, other types of businesses, and they can do everything from tracking app usage trends, mm-hmm. and maybe how popular an app is getting. And it's not just like analytics that developers can put into their app. So this news is that Sensor Tower was using VPN apps. And instead of maybe, you know, using that VPN as a privacy measure, it was using it like Facebook did with Onavo to vacuum up everything that a person was doing with these apps. Or, well, actually, not just with these apps, with their entire phone, because it prompted a person to install a root certificate, not from the App Store. It directed them to some random website in Safari. Once that certificate is installed, they can see everything that you do on your phone.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. No, wait, not wonderful. The other thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Goodness. So Sensor Tower.
And this was, these apps were on the App Store and Google Play Store. So it's okay. Not just limited to Apple customers.
Oh, hooray. So, yeah. All smartphone users are equally screwed by this. That's
wonderful.
Yep. Hurrah. All right. So those are the ones that I find frustrating because in some cases, in certain situations, there's a reason that you want to install a certificate for something. And it makes sense. And it's a good way to do stuff. And that's clearly, like in this case, that's clearly not what's happening. So and here's the thing, is that a root certificate is a big deal, as this obviously illustrates. Look at all the access that somebody you may not want to have access to everything has access to. And that's part of the issue with something like a root certificate. So you definitely, again, we're talking about this so people are aware of it. This is the kind of stuff that makes it hard to justify when you need to do something like this for a legitimate reason. If you're trying to test something or there's something going on that you need to install that certificate for.
Yeah, and I think this is a good warning about VPNs in general. Privacy and security are kind of more on people's minds nowadays, and a VPN is one tool that can help you with that. But, you know, a VPN can help you hide your location, and if it's encrypted, it won't be able to see your, like, you can use it to stop your ISP from looking at your browser history. However, if your VPN is maybe, you know, a bad company, then they basically, they're replacing your ISP, and then they can potentially see everything that you do. So you have to be careful.
Yeah.
Like, definitely don't use a free VPN.
That's never a good idea. I would say that. Charlotte, I know that
hello.
Sometimes when you're doing things, you may need a VPN. So do you have any recommendations? Like, is there a service that you use there that's helpful?
Are you suggesting that I may inadvertently stream things that are not available in my actual region?
I wasn't suggesting that at all, but you might be.
Lol. So actually,
I was suggesting that occasionally you have a need to maybe make sure that the traffic that you are transmitting over Wi-Fi may not necessarily be for everyone to see.
Yeah, and so I've tried a few kind of from the App Store and things like that. I tend to kind of go... The thing I have is I probably break Andrew's rule, and I've probably tested a few free ones. Now, so, you know, because I have to confess, I don't actually use a VPN all that often.
Sure.
I know because the one I think Andrew and I both like is ProtonVPN, which I have tested.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what
it's from the people that brought you Proton Mail. I mean, if I do need a VPN, that tends to be the one I lean towards because, you know, I trust Proton Mail as a company as a whole. And so if they're producing a VPN, I'm pretty relaxed about using their products. And also, I think you can use Proton Mail and Proton VPN as a package if you want the paid accounts for both.
Mm-hmm. That's good to know.
Yeah, so Proton is a good company. Another VPN that I've used before is Private Internet Access. That is, I think, another good company because there was at least one court case I've read about where someone asked them to give logs, like a court order, and if they didn't do this, it would be illegal. However, they couldn't because they say they didn't have logs, and not being able to do this to the court kind of seems like they were telling the truth.
Yeah. Yeah, there are companies where you kind of have to read the fine print on stuff like that because it will be things like, you know, we don't log any of that. We don't have any of that information. And that's all for plausible deniability on their part for exactly the situation you described. So we don't log any traffic because if anybody comes back and asks us for it, we don't want to be able to hand it over. So we just don't check. So that's always a good thing to find out again, awareness about what data certain companies have about you and what they're going to do with it. So it's also a good idea to check that. So that's a good tip for Security Friday. I think that's going to do it for us today. Andrew, you've talked about Proton Mail anyway. I'm not sure about Proton VPN, at least over on Mac Observer. So
I've been using Proton Mail for I don't know years now. I actually just started recently using Proton VPN, and I did switch over from Private Internet Access.
Okay, so all right. So we will have links to all of these relevant things in the show notes, and that's going to do it for us today. I'm glad we made it successfully to the end of the show. I want to thank both of you for being here. Charlotte, thanks so much for coming by.
Thanks so much for having me. See you at WWDC 2020. Woohoo!
I will indeed. I will say I'm a little sad because the hallway track, the random chance meetings of the people that you get to do when you're in San Jose is one of my favorite things. And I'm sad we won't have that this year. I guess we'll just have to try a little harder to fire up the old Zoom room here and there and get a chance to chat in person with some folks that you don't normally get to see otherwise. So we'll have to see. That's going to do it for the show. Andrew, thank you for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me, and have a good weekend, everyone.
Yeah, I will see you at DubDub 2020 as well, it sounds like.
So. Definitely.
I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. I will talk to all of you on Monday. Have an awesome weekend, and until we meet again, be excellent to each other.